You get up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water, and you hear glass breaking. Immediately, your body begins to react to that. Adrenaline begins to flow, and you go into what psychologists call fight or flight mode. You're not sure what to do. Do you run back to your room and take shelter there? Or do you meet the danger head on? A lot of it will depend upon who you are, how you are equipped physically, how your house is laid out, the knowledge that you have, your skills, the people in your house, perhaps. Fight or flight. However, things begin to change when you begin to sense, when you begin to reason that something is unfair, unjust. That begins to change the game just a little bit, if not quite a lot. And that's when the flight evaporates and the fight begins. When you have been wronged. When there is injustice. We're going to be looking at our text tonight from God's Word, where there's a whole lot that is not right, where there is a lot of injustice. The context is Holy Thursday. Jesus has been in the upper room with his disciples, and he spoke plainly to them that there's going to be some violence. He's told them that he's going to be treated like a criminal by those who are in the leadership of the nation. He's told them that now their ministry in following him is going to become much more difficult. Their ears heard Jesus say this, but their minds said, no way. Their minds said, no way. And Peter spoke up on behalf of the group. He said, even if I have to die with you, he said, I will never disown you. Now, fast forward into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has just finished praying, and he's telling his sleepy disciples, you're about to go into fight or flight mode, when all of a sudden, he's interrupted with the thumping of clubs. Here comes that tactical force put together by the Jewish leaders to arrest Jesus. And that's where we give our attention to God's holy word from Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 47. While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? One of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. Ah, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. This is the word of God. My dear friends in Christ, if you hear glass break in the middle of the night, you have some choices to make. You will use the best of your reason and logic to weigh out, and hopefully you're taking up the invitation of our merciful Savior, and you are praying your brains out. Lord, guide me. Guide me, Lord. The disciples hear the clubbing. There's some angry and eagerly violent people who have come into the garden. And as soon as the disciples quickly add up the situation, they begin to make some logical, reasonable choices. And especially because they see that this is totally unfair, well, they react in a certain way, and Jesus has to say, stand down. Jesus heard the clubbing. He saw in the flickering of those lights of the torches, he saw the swords, he heard the chains, he heard the clubbing. Jesus is 100% human, perfect human, but 100% human. He had an adrenaline rush too. His fight or flight syndrome also kicked in as a true human being, but at the same time, he's a perfect human being. And he is also 100% God. Now, I know mathematically that does not work out. 100% human and 100% God. But that's who Jesus is. And thus, although he had the temptation to react like his own disciple Peter did, he didn't. Yes, he had the fight or flight syndrome, but something else ruled his response, the truth of God. He was not going to either flee or fight because he knew he was on a path to the cross, and that path to the cross meant that this tactical force that had come into the garden was going to arrest him, just as he had himself told his disciples. Jesus knows this is unfair. Jesus knows this is totally unjust. But out of the great mercy and love of his heart for you and me, among the whole people of the world, he lets himself be arrested. Peter, on the other hand, he has a whole different reaction, doesn't he? This is wrong. This is my Savior. This is my friend. He has come into the world to love us. He's come to be the Messiah. This is wrong. Jesus, you're wrong. Jesus, I saw you heal the blind. I saw you make the deaf be able to hear again. I saw you take the hand of that 12-year-old girl and raise her back to life in her bed. I saw you call Lazarus out of the tomb. Jesus, you are wrong. Use your power. Stop this, Jesus. What's wrong with you? Are you paralyzed? And Peter drew his sword. And he did what is logical. He did what is reasonable. He did what you are taught to do when you are jumped and you have the ability to defend yourself. Do you understand? It was reasonable, it was logical, but it was not faithful to God. And Jesus had even told him, to be faithful to God, the plan is, I will be handed over to the Gentiles. I will suffer, I will die, and I will rise again on the third day. Peter probably thought he even had the tactical advantage. He was quick, and he had a sword. Let's step back and take a look at what is happening here. It is unfair that Jesus was arrested. It is illogical. And in fact, it's downright cruel. If you are looking at it in pure logic, it's downright cruel what Jesus just did to his disciples. He's putting them through this horrible situation where they're going to see him, their beloved friend and Savior, where they're going to have their own minds twisted and tortured. Why is not God using his power? And the logical conclusion is that Jesus is cruel. That's what logic teaches us. That's reasonable. It was also logic that brought this tactical group of people to arrest Jesus into the garden in the first place. According to their logic and reason, Jesus was a fraud. He was not matching up to their logical explanation and expectation of what the great king ought to be. And so it was logical that he should be arrested and put on trial. And Jesus is teaching us here that human reason is dangerous. Human reason is damning if it is not being faithful to God's truth. So what's really happening in the garden? Satan is there with the club of reason. He's using it to drive people to rely on logic and reason, to provoke them. Come on! Take your reason in hand. Take your logic in hand and fight back. And that's exactly what Peter did. He did the logical thing. My friends, how often don't we do the same? We are lied to sometimes. We are taken advantage of. And the last thing we do is show restraint. We use our logic and our reason to try to figure out how to get around this. Or maybe even in the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, fight fire with fire. Or when pressures of life come upon us to the point where we need release, we need to have a release from the pressure that we have, then logically speaking, we start making choices of what we think is going to bring us that release. Places where God has told us we are to be restraining ourselves from going. Our fingers go and punch in those keys that God says, don't do that. But our logic says, this is how I find my release. This is how I find a way around the pressure of life. Lord, we need love, Lord. We need love. And so our logic and our reason leads us to express our love with our bodies where God has told us not to or not yet to. The idea of using our bodies together in marriage, that doesn't seem reasonable. To use our bodies with the opposite sex at the appropriate time in marriage, that's unreasonable. It's not logical. And if we follow our reason and logic, then we're being unfaithful to our faithful God. And in fact, when you stand with God's truth, you're going to be called cruel. You're going to be called, you're so cruel. They love each other. Why can't they express that love in this way? Because the faithful one, the Lord God Almighty, says that's inappropriate. It's not the way that he designed the universe and humans to live underneath him. You are so cruel to deny people their freedom and their love. And Satan's right there at that moment. Use your reason and come back at him. Undercut them at the knee with words or with attitude or just with disgust. You're not worthy of God's love might be even be a logical feeling in our heart, but unfaithful to God. I know you're just like me. We would never be like Peter and draw the sword. We're well steeped in the fact that Jesus needed to go on this path to his sacrificial death to pay for our sins. But how many other times have we reasoned with ourselves why our pet sin can remain our pet sin? It's for that reason that Jesus gave himself over to the very people he could have destroyed so easily or just walked away from. This is why Jesus had to teach Peter, don't use your reason and logic, Peter, whenever it's in competition with my faithful truth. Put your sword away and let me heal that man's ear. You see, even when we sin by allowing logic and reason to overrule God's truth, which happens so easily, which is why Luther called reason a witch. A witch that so often serves Satan. We have Jesus who went on to the cross to die and pay for our sins. He showed restraint here in the garden, not using his power to make or keep things right and just. He set aside his power to go to the cross to take all the injustice of this world, pay for it all in his death with holy blood, and then rise again to promise us that someday he's going to come in all of his righteousness and holiness with all of his glory and power and make all things right. And in between these two times, he promises that he will be with us and take even the times we experience injustice and make them serve for our eternal good. That does not make sense, but that promise does make faith stronger. So the glass breaks in your house. What do? Fight or flight? Use your logic. Use your reason. And use prayer even more. Because there God has not spoken what path is to be taken. But where he has spoken what path, where he has given us his truth, there we need what Jesus is teaching us, restraint. Lord, your will be done, not my will. I can't do this, and neither can you. Without the forgiveness for all the times we have failed, and without that forgiveness that Jesus went on to the cross to procure, that promises that he will help us do this, to grow in faith and serve him. So when you're tempted to use your logic and reason, when God's word is right there to guide you, please, by God's grace, hear the club of Satan trying to beat you up and fight back in the one way and only way that can happen. Jesus, Savior, guide me in your truth and forgive me for not being fully vested. You may have to pull me along. I might be kicking my heels against you, Lord, but lead me with the restraint that I need to walk in faith. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.